Before we begin, I just want you guys to know that we're going to be highlighting some really young entrepreneurs across the African continent who are doing some pretty amazing things. So stay tuned. This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast, and I'm your host, Arun Galadima. Let's start the show. This is the Knowledge Bandits Podcast. I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Mr. Given Edward. Given is the young entrepreneur behind My Elimu from Tanzania. My Elimu is an e-learning platform that focuses on connecting students and making learning content easier for them to understand and to use. I've given just a very, very brief introduction, Given. Can you take the time to let the bandits get to know you a little bit better?
My name is Given Edward. I'm the founder of My Elimu. And a brief about My Elimu, it is a platform that connects secondary school students from different places so that they can meet online and discuss. So if we have one student who is in the rest of Tanzania, the other one is in Arusha, the other one is in Cape Town, South Africa, and another one is in Lagos, Nigeria, they can meet online and discuss school subjects and share knowledge and skills. That's what My Elimu does. I'm Tanzanian, I'm 23 years old, and I'm really happy to be here.
Great. Well, so that's actually an interesting concept. How did you come up with the concept of My Elimu?
I was a secondary school student at a secondary school, obviously, and I used to stay a bit far from home, something that would require me to travel for at least 2.5 hours back and from. And because of that, I couldn't stay behind for discussions with my other colleagues. So I thought, you know, what if we didn't have to be on the same place for us to discuss? Okay. I was at home and my fellow students would be in school, others would be on a bus, and we could just meet somewhere and discuss virtually. So that's how I created My Elimu.
Interesting. So is it sort of a software platform that enables people to do that? Do people connect through phone calls, video conferencing? How does that work?
Well, they connect through chat and through our mobile app. It's on the Play Store. The way it works is the same as the way a forum website works.
Okay. That's interesting. And so when did you start this?
I started it around this month, actually, 4 years ago.
Wow.
So it was on 2014 when I created it, and this month we are 4 years old.
Nice. Wow. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much. It has been quite a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely get into the nooks and crannies of how exciting that ride has been. But how did you actually go about building it? Did you hire people? Did you have the skills yourself?
So fortunately, I've been teaching myself programming from a very young age. Back before I even had a laptop or a smartphone, or even a feature phone. I used to learn from my grandmother's phone. She used to have some Nokia feature phone that could access WAP internet. And so I would open the web page there. And then after that, I would have my counter book where I would learn code. And that kept going on for a while. And I had another friend of mine who owned an internet cafe. So I would go to their internet cave and troubleshoot for customers in exchange for computer time, of which I would use that time to actually test my code and see how that works. And after a while, my grandmother bought a computer, so I started practicing it on my own. So by the time I had the idea, I knew quite enough about web development for me to actually develop a platform. On my own, it wasn't as perfect. It still isn't, but it was just something that was enough to get people to use.
Interesting. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that's probably one of the most unique ways I've heard someone learning how to code. What were the first languages you learned?
I learned PHP, but then I also learned HTML and CSS.
Okay.
So those were the very basics. But the first one, actually, now that I think about it, was Visual Basic. Because initially I wanted to create a software where students would install on their computers and they'll be able to meet with others who are also in their computer. So I learned the Visual Basic first.
Okay.
To a level, and then I learned those languages.
Interesting. So is PHP is the main stack that your website is on?
Yeah, it's the main stack.
Okay, interesting. What got you interested in computer programming, and how did you even sort of discover it? Because I didn't really know about it until a few years ago.
For me, it was my uncle. My uncle has been in tech for quite a while. Maybe not web kind of tech, but basically computers. And I used to really admire what he does. He would come with a computer at home. And, you know, at first I used a Windows 95, then Windows 98. Those are the computers that he had. And I would try use them when I'm with him. And I just enjoy seeing him copy files. You know, as a kid, one thing that really excited me was to see that window icon of a file jumping from one folder to another and another. And, you know, he would just copy files for hours and then leave. And I would just sit there, stare at the computer, seeing those animation GIFs jumping from one folder to another. Yeah. And it was very exciting. So by the time that I actually got to use the computer than just look at it, I was very excited. And when I got a Windows XP, a colored computer, in that matter, it was very interesting. So that's how I got interested into it. And then the first time I learned PHP, it was very exciting because I learned about variables where you can store information and then use it for later. And I think that opened a whole world for me because I felt if you can store information and be able to use it and show it to the user later or use that information to inform your decision, then you can create anything. And that's when I started creating Facebook in my own kind of way. Then I just summed it up. I was like, Facebook is then just a bunch of variables. Even I can do it.
Yeah.
Just store variables and use them for later. So those kind of things, small concepts like variables in PHP and just seeing a computer work are what got me really excited. And that's, ever since then, I've just wanted to create great things.
Nice. So how long did it take you to build MyLumo?
I spent overnight with it, actually. So it took me around a week to actually be done with the first version of the product and took it up.
Okay. And how did you go about getting people to use it?
Lucky enough, I was a student at the time, so word of mouth was a really good thing. I just told my fellow students and I advertised it on Facebook pages and my colleagues, so few got involved, and that was really interesting. It really took off after I got an award from Queen Elizabeth, the Queen's Young Leaders Award. That's when it more people got aware of it, and it sort of took off.
Interesting. And so what was that process like of getting an award from the Queen?
Oh, okay. So there was the Queen's Young Leaders Award, which recognizes exceptional young people across Commonwealth for the things that they have been doing to uplift either other young people or their community at large. And I felt, okay, this is interesting. A friend of mine recommended me to it, and then I gave more details about me, and then I was shortlisted. And then after a number of interviews, I was given the phone call that, hey, you just made it. You just got the award. You'll be required to travel to Buckingham Palace and meet the Queen and then receive the award, something that really excited me.
Wow.
And then from that point onwards, it was very interesting. I went there, received the award, and it was very fun.
Well, that's great. I'm sure that provided a lot of motivation in times of maybe doubt or turmoil that you were experiencing throughout the process of building your business.
Yeah, it really motivated me, because when you are doing something with no aim of being awarded or getting money or any of the, of that stuff, is because that way, when that kind of a thing happens, it inspires you that other people, also saw what you are doing and they loved it.
Yeah. Well, is the structure a membership structure for MyLima, or does anyone just hop on and chat?
Yeah, it's anybody. And currently we have users for from at least 10 African countries who mostly use the platform.
Wow. And do you know how those other people outside of Tanzania were able to find MyLima? Was it also through the Queen's Award that people found you?
I think it is more about the content. You see, most of African content, at least to a degree, cut across countries. And because of that, when they go on the internet and they search for content, surely they can find links, but it is rarely where you find a platform where other people are also discuss about that academic content per se. So that's what drew people outside Tanzania to MyLima. Because let's say you want to know about Ngoni migration. If you search, surely you can find articles about Ngoni migration. But how about some questions you have that are not answered on the article? Or how about other questions that other people had and discussed about it? That's what drew people to MyLima, because they don't just find the topic, they also find interactions with other people about the same content. And they thought that they can also join in and learn. That's very interesting.
That's interesting. And so you've been working with MyLima for 4 years now, you said?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Does it generate any income for you, or do you have something else that you're doing on the side?
MyLima doesn't charge students, although we do make income through other contracts with other companies. So, for example, we create video content, and there are some corporate companies who want us to create educational video content for them, and that's our way of making money.
Interesting. Yeah. How did you first get into that? Were you approached, or was this something that you were proactive about and started doing?
It is something that we had started doing already. We started creating videos for a while just to see how students would like it, and students liked them. And then I guess with how students liked them, that's how we got more courage to do even more.
And for a while, I've heard a lot of people speaking about e-learning when it comes to the African market and the sort of potential that e-learning platforms can provide for the spreading of knowledge. What do you think about e-learning and some of the pros versus the cons moving forward?
I think e-learning is a very promising field. And I know that's something anybody who is in e-learning feels compelled to say, but I actually think it is very useful and beneficial, because I think about how I was able to use it myself. You know, me creating MyLima was me solving my own problem, the problem that I was facing, and apparently other students were facing too, so there's a lot of potential. But maybe just a flag that I would put up is, when it comes to Africa, we shouldn't approach e-learning the same way we approach e-learning in other places, let's say Europe or America, because our internet, basically our technological infrastructure, isn't as developed. So we might be trapped into being carried away and obsessed by the latest technologies, and not bearing in mind or taking into consideration just how much applicable it is in Tanzania. Or Africa, actually. And so that's a flag. That's why I'm currently launching another venture which uses artificial intelligence to deliver learning content to secondary school students who cannot afford the internet or do not have smartphones. So what we'll be doing is we'll be providing e-learning without internet. And we'll be providing this to people who cannot afford it and do not have smartphones either, although those who have smartphones and internet can benefit to it too. But what's unique about it is we are focusing on it to people who do not have internet.
Wow, that's very fascinating. Just briefly, a little bit off topic, but still, I guess still on par. I know Facebook's, is it the Basics program or something like that? Have you sort of tapped into that at all?
You're talking about the free Basics, yes?
Yeah.
I had a meeting at Facebook offices in South Africa, and I definitely had a conversation around that. I'm just ironing out a few things before I get the MyElimu platform into free Basics, but it's definitely something that's in the pipeline.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, so we've talked a little bit about the business, and I can go on because this stuff really fascinates me. Being able to build tech companies. I think one thing that you said was that was really piercing was talking about how you need to tailor whatever you're building to the African market and to your market. I think people listening from all over the world, if you're building something, you have to make sure that the people who are going to be using it are able to use it. Like you said, the technological constraints in Nigeria or in Tanzania are vastly different from those in the US and those in other parts of the world. So I think that's definitely an important consideration when building a tech business.
Yeah, that's very true. A very core belief I have, and this is something that I borrowed from Chukano, who is a World Bank expert on educational technology, is that good innovation is one that uses a technology that people already have, can afford, and know how to use. Those are very important things whenever you are innovating for education. And if it does not check those boxes, then you'll be creating a good product that is not solving anybody's problem, or it is solving some people's problems, but they cannot use it, so you have a bad product.
No, I think that's just driving the point home. So we've spoken a little bit about the business, but we want to get to know you more as an entrepreneur. So what fires you up in the morning? What's your morning routine, and why is that routine so important to you?
Okay. What fires me up is basically possibilities of what I'm doing, the impact that it's able to create. I think that fires me up more than anything. And about routines in the morning, I wouldn't say I have a fixed routine in the morning, but there are some very few things that I hold close to my day that help me go ahead. The first thing is basically aligning my inner world with my outer world. That is, whatever I do has to align with whatever I believe for me to actually feel confident to actually do it. And I'm a Christian, and I do my best to live by Christian values and ensure that what I do impacts people and doesn't hurt anyone along the way. So I try to make sure that I stay in those lines too. So when I wake up in the morning, one thing that gives me mental calmness is basically a prayer and listening to a few gospel songs, as well as read a Bible verse. I mean, in a perfect day, that's what I would have in the morning. And then with that, it always sets me in a good mood to do things. But another thing is also try to put down a list of things that I have to achieve in that day. I don't necessarily have to note them down, but I will feel more accomplished if at the end of the day I'm able to look at my list and say I've achieved this and this and this. Because, you know, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there. So I try to be structured in the way I work to be able to sleep at night in the end of the day and say, I didn't waste time today. I achieved this. That's basically how I operate throughout a day.
Nice. And so a big part of being an entrepreneur is having that passion, which I think you've conveyed pretty well. But another part is being able to sustain yourself. So what are some of the ways you generate income for yourself? Are you fully reliant on MyLimu as a source of income for you?
MyLimu is one of the streams. The other is basically different tasks and jobs that I do, because I'm also a web developer. But apart from that, I'm also a youth development activist. I've been working with youth organizations for quite a while. So different projects that I do, most voluntarily, and some which I'm paid for. That's how I sustain myself.
Interesting. Yeah. And going back to MyLimu, how many people do you have working for that business?
I have around 4 people who are working on MyLimu.
And what's your reach? Just to get an idea of the sort of scale you're working on, how many members or visitors to the platform do you have?
Okay, every month we have an average of 25,000 students using the platform, and they span from across 10 countries of Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's about it. It has been growing, because I think last year we were looking at 10,000 monthly users, but right now it is growing more and more and more. And our goal right now is to push for engagement more, because most users come to our website, go through the content, and they love it and they like it and they leave comments. But right now we want to push for more and more and more interactions across these users from different places.
Interesting. And so have you raised money for it, or is it completely bootstrapped at this point?
MyLimu is bootstrapped up to this point. I haven't been raising funds for it, but I believe it is something that I'll start doing. At least before the end of this year, I'll be able to raise some funds, because so far I've been working to push MyLimu into the product that I believe, without altering the goal of it. Yeah, I'm trying not to go where the money is, but rather create something that solves a problem and students use. And if a person happens to want to fund that, then that's great. But I'm trying to be very keen not to go wherever the money is and alter the product, where you'll be making funders happy, but students are not actually enjoying your solutions, or you are not solving the problem the right way.
That's very interesting. So where did you get that mentality from? Because you find that a lot of young entrepreneurs sometimes are so gung-ho about raising money to sustain their startup and not so much on providing that perfect product for the user.
Yeah, well, a lot of people speak about passion, and maybe they have it, but a passion that I personally admire is a passion that has stood the test of time, a passion that has been tried and tested. And patience is a measure of passion. How long you can keep on doing something, how long you can keep on following your passion, even when you aren't earning a dollar on your bank account, and sometimes having to feed the platform yourself, to take care of the platform by your own money, with your own money. I think that's a measure for passion. And if you can be able to develop that sense of patience, then you will grow as an entrepreneur.
That's a bar right there.
Yeah. If you're looking for a quick buck, then, you know, there are a lot of things you can do. But, you know, the problem with quick buck is the easier it comes is the easier it goes. As an entrepreneur, that first check is the hardest. But you only have to be right once to prove that your product works and actually solves that problem. for my LIM, it has been exceptionally tough because we are not just developing content for students. We are trying to develop a community of learners. And building a community takes time. It takes 4 years. It takes even more than 4 years because you have to create relations between you as a platform and the students, but also students among themselves. And that's something you cannot do in just a year when you have no funding. It's very easy to quit than to continue. So that sense of patience and also forward thinking, long-term thinking is also very crucial as an entrepreneur. So that has also helped being able to put on a fight up to this point where you have 20,000 students, 25,000 students using the platform. It takes a sense of patience and dedication to your passion.
Yeah. And I think all of what you said is really summed up in that one line. And it's so poignant. It's a really good line. I just need to repeat it. Is you think that patience is a measure of passion?
Definitely.
Nice. So, I mean, again, being an entrepreneur, you go through ups and downs. So right now, I want you to be able to take us to one of the points where you felt so low. You felt like this might not be something you should be doing. You almost called it in. Can you take us to one of those moments?
Well, I think one of my lowest lows was at a time where I was participating in a pitch competition. I was very optimistic about it because I had the best slides and I had a very good product. And then it was just from that point where I was from talking to this TV show for educational content about us partnering, and they hinted about a possibility. So I was very excited. Even when going to the pitch, I was very excited about that. But I lost the pitch to that. And on the same evening, the person from the TV network called and said, it's not going to be possible. All the while, our co-competitor actually won that pitch and was going somewhere abroad. And they had just secured this huge, huge deal with Facebook, I think. It was actually a free basics deal. And wow. So I felt, okay, the opposite of me is what's happening to my competitor. So that was really low. But then I just kept on telling myself, if it was easy, everybody would have done it. And I'm not in this for a quick win. I didn't expect this to be easy. So I expected this. Let me just dust off and keep on moving. I think that was one of my lowest lows. And as a way of reassuring myself, everything is going to be okay, I used to note down these small setbacks. I used to write them down on a notebook just so that I can look back and tell myself, I survived that. Surely I can survive anything that's still to come. You know, it's very easy to look at the future as you want it to be, but looking at the future as it is and still believe that it can be as you want it to be, I think that's one thing that has kept me going, you know. Mm. People look at Bill Gates as he is and they say they don't want to be like Bill Gates. But if you want to be like Bill Gates in his 60s, you have to work like Bill Gates in his 20s. And this is something that I believed so much when I was working, when I was experiencing all these setbacks, that it was bound to happen. You know, nothing worth having comes easy. So I kept on pushing on, even in my lowest lows, saying that every person who ever made it paid a price. And maybe this is just me paying mine, but I'm sure it'll be worth it.
Hmm. And on the other side of the coin, we want to talk about the highest point that you felt. I'm sure there are several, but can you draw one in particular that sort of gave you that fire, that motivation to keep pushing on and doing what you're doing?
I think one of the highest highs for me was when I was receiving that award, you know. When something finally pays off, when after experiencing all those setbacks I'm telling you about, and then from nowhere you just get an award from the Queen and you go to Buckingham Palace and you meet the likes of David Beckham, who look at you in the eyes and say, what you're doing is great. I think that was one of the highest highs. It made me believe in what I'm doing and that it matters. But also when I get emails from students and other young people saying that they are thankful for the platform, it's helping them, or students saying that, you know, they were out of school but they are now going back to school because they heard me speak on an interview. I think those are some of the highest highs for me. Yeah.
And I think it's important to note, most of the people I interview, just to drive it home for all of the listeners, most of the people I interview, you can go back and listen to some of them.
Yeah.
The common thing people say is when they're talking about the ups, it's rarely, if ever, even about the money, but it's about the people who you impact. It's about getting that feedback from the customer and knowing that you're actually making an impact.
That's very true. Because I think we never usually do this for money. We do this for impact. So when you get that, you're excited, because as people are excited about money, money is a currency for me. So I'm excited that the more impact I have, that's like the more money I see.
Yeah. And I think that's a perfect time for us to enter the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. What do you think was initially stopping you from taking the step to become an entrepreneur?
This may seem a bit corny, but nothing has actually ever stopped me, because I've always believed that more could happen if I put my mind to it.
And when did you stop looking at your business as a project and more as an actual business?
The moment I started involving other people apart from myself.
And what would you say is your superpower as an entrepreneur?
Being able to be forward thinking and maintain grace under pressure.
And what quality would you wish to improve on most?
I think, that's a good one. I think being able to delegate is something that I need to improve the most.
And what's the best advice you've received, and who is it from?
The best advice I've received is, I think I was told by a colleague that there is nothing that an eye doesn't see. So just keep on doing what you are doing. It was a fellow student at African Leadership University.
And what is one internet resource or application that you couldn't live without? I mean, obviously excluding MyElimu.
That would have to be Google. Yeah.
And what do you usually do to unwind from a hectic schedule?
Netflix most of the times or music.
Okay. And what are you reading right now?
The Hard Things About Hard Things.
And to close out the rapid fire round, do you feel like you've made it yet?
No, I don't think I have. I think there is more that I have to do. If I was supposed to put it in a percentage, I think I'm just at around 40% of all the things that I'm set out to do.
Well, I think that was a great rapid fire round. You stuck to the rapid fire nature of it, and I think we were able to extract some really good answers from you. And as we cool down, you mentioned one book that you're reading now, The Hard Thing About Hard Things, but what is one book that you would recommend to the bandits?
I think I think the book called Getting to Maybe is a very good book because it speaks about hope. And hope is something that has kept me going, and that book sums hope perfectly. Mm. It is said, it quotes the former Czech Republic president who said that hope isn't the belief that things are going to turn out great, but it's the belief that things make sense regardless of how they turn out. And I think that is what has kept me going through all these times and all these challenges, because no matter what happened, I just believe that in the long run it's going to make sense. And when you believe that, you will value that pain, you will value that moment to know that it means something. It is not a waste, it is not a punishment, and it's definitely not a setback.
And to talk about mentorship, because I think sort of indirectly what your platform does is it provides some sort of mentorship to people who might need it. But can you speak on the value of mentorship and also talk about who your mentors are?
I think mentorship is great, and I think it is a very, very big resource, because imagine having a person who has already walked the path that you're trying to walk and has learned from it, and they help you avoid mistakes. I think it's a very valuable thing. It is for the same reason that I personally believe a lot in listening and respecting the elders, especially heeding their advice, because you know they have lived life and they know its challenges, its rights and wrongs for most part. So it's the same way I see mentors. They are very helpful because they are basically guiding you from the destination. That is, they have been to the destination and they are telling you which path will get you there. So I think it's very valuable. And for me personally, my mentor is Konstantin Magavila, who is a marketer in Tanzania. I think I've been working with him for at least around 4 years now, and he has been guiding me through the whole steps, not just from the marketing aspect of it or just from the business side of things, but even in life, because he's also a life coach, an author, and an inspirational speaker, so it's been very helpful.
Nice. And your voice was a little bit faint there. Is there any way you can move a little bit closer? All right. And what advice would you give to some of those bandits that are listening right now who are afraid to take that next step into entrepreneurship?
Well, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy, because that would be me misleading you. But I can tell you it's going to be worth it. And I'm telling you this because I've experienced it. If you put in enough work, if you put in the hours, there's nothing that an eye doesn't see. Eventually, it will yield fruits. You just have to believe in what you're doing more than you believe in the logic of things. That's the main thing. But above that, you have to believe in yourself.
And I hear a lot of entrepreneurs, pretty much every entrepreneur has said starting your own business is hard work. It's a hard thing to do. What exactly about it is hard?
I think the hard thing is cutting through the noise. Because when you're starting a business, you know, you're not the only one. There is a lot of people who are also doing businesses and competitors and all that. So cutting through the noise, distinguishing yourself from others, that's tough. But what's also tough, apart from that, is maintaining the momentum. I think that has helped me a lot now that I think about it. Maintaining the momentum and believing in that momentum. That's almost a gift. Because when you start with a lot of fire, but as you walk and as you face challenges, you might begin to wear down. But if you're able to maintain the momentum, or what Steve Jobs called staying hungry, staying foolish, then you will win. Yeah.
And what would you say is the best thing about starting a business in Tanzania?
I think it is the possibilities of it, because there is a lot of room for development, and it is a very young country technologically. Because think about it, if you want to start an entrepreneurial business, an entrepreneurship business in the US, what can you possibly create that hasn't existed yet? So the thing that is exciting about Tanzania is impacting people in a way that they haven't been impacted before. I think that is what's exciting about doing a business in Tanzania.
Nice. And unfortunately, we're reaching that point where we have to say goodbye.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. But as we are saying goodbye, can you let us know how we can connect with you, whether it's through Twitter, email, website, Instagram, all of that stuff, and also leave us with a final piece of parting wisdom?
Great. I'm available via social media, all of them under the username Givenality. So if you don't see the username Givenality, then I'm not on that platform. But Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Telegram too, I think, under the username Givenality, that is Givenality. Those are the platforms that I'm in. And for the email, I'm available via given@myelimu.com. Those are the platforms that I'm at. I'm very quick on this social media. As I often say, I'm available on the internet more than I'm available on my cell phone, because I also tend to be traveling a lot. Currently, I'm in Cape Town, South Africa. I'll be traveling to Tanzania tomorrow, where I'll also be staying for like a few weeks, then travel again. But on the internet is a definite way to access me. As for the last piece of wisdom, I would say take risks. Just do what you feel you should be doing. At the end of the day, make sure you're not 50 years old looking back and regret and think about all the things that could have been if you just had the guts to do what you wanted. And life is about you. Don't worry about what other people may think. Chances are they're not thinking at you at all. And as Jay-Z once said, don't listen to anybody. Everybody's scared. Even the people you see that you think have things figured out, they're also just trying to survive. Even I'm just trying to survive. So we are not different than you are. Just believe in yourself and do what you can. Follow your dreams. Give everything your best shot, and you shall succeed. That's all I can tell you. Even if you will not succeed, at least you failed in your own terms, and not worrying about what people may think.
Wow. Well, Given, I've really appreciated our time together. Not to be corny or anything, you've given us a lot of valuable information. I think that name is very befitting of you. You're very giving in terms of the information and the wisdom that you're imparting.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
And I'm sure the bandits have appreciated it as well. Stay inspired.
Hey, if you're still there, thanks for listening. If you like the show, please hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Handle is Knowledge Bandits everywhere. We have closed sessions lined up with some of the entrepreneurs that we've already interviewed. So if you have questions that weren't answered during the show, you'll have a chance to connect with them during these closed sessions. Just go to the Knowledge Bandits website at knowledgebandits.com and sign up for the newsletter on the contact page. If you or someone you know has a business, we'd love to share your story with the Knowledge Bandits community. Just send an email to interview@knowledgebandits.com. If you have a question for me or you want to connect with any of the guests so far, send an email to me personally at arun@knowledgebandits.com. Finally, if you love music and you have a few moments, please listen to this instrumental by Young Alhaji. You can find him on SoundCloud by searching Young Alhaji. That's YUNGALHAJI. Stay inspired.